Lieutenant Carapax, tell me that you found the Scarab.
They're cutting into it now.
Ah, that's exciting.
I've had them working around the clock since we unearthed it about 2 weeks ago.
Good. Let's keep this thing airtight until we're ready to show the board.
Miss Quirk.
Miss Quirk!
Oh, sorry. Dr. Sanchez, hello.
Actually, that's not my name.
How much longer do you think it's gonna be?
We hit the center before sunrise.
Well, push your men harder. I've searched for 15 years. I don't want to wait another second.
You should have called before making the trip out, Miss Quirk. This could be another decoy.
It's in there.
I can feel it.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
This is Cheap Seat Reviews.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Cheap Seat Reviews, the podcast that explores the Hollywood film industry for the greater good.
Are we sure? Are we sure it's the greater good? Because I heard it four different times in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely for the greater good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Just thought I'd ask.
I didn't capture all of the times that they said it. I thought about doing a supercut.
It was four different times in this movie.
Yeah, I thought about doing a supercut, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that would have been funny. Yeah. So, hey, guys. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. This is Cheap Seat Reviews. I'm very excited for this one. This is our last episode in our
forever.
Month of...
Sorry.
Of...
Bye.
No.
We're going on to better pastures. We got a raise, so now it won't be cheap seat anymore.
Oh.
It'll be middle class seat.
Middle. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Is economy.
That, is that season two?
Economy seat.
Economy yeah. chair. Economy. Yeah. Economy reviews. I like that.
Economy reviews.
Yeah, we got a little bit. The chair's actually been repaired.
Yeah.
Still not a lot of leg room.
Our logo or our slogan is middling at best.
Yes, I like it. well, we still have to do it for the greater good. So middling, instead of exploring the Hollywood film industry, we can I don't know what we're doing. I think the joke has run its course. This is episode 472, and tonight we're talking about Blue Beetle. The Blue Beetle. I am really loud. I'm going to turn that down a little bit.
It sounds good into my ear.
Yeah, but on the recording here, as I'm looking, it is all kinds of peaking. I know we had some problems with it before, but if I go...
Just like that person through the window behind you.
Yeah, he's peaking. Nice.
Yeah. All kinds of peaking.
Ah, you like it. Okay. So that's weird. Anyway, this is 472, and tonight we're talking about Blue Beetle. I already said that. I am Sean Allred, your host, and joining me tonight is Andrew, has to kick the podcast to get it started each week, Jemison.
That's not far from the truth, but this week, I think I was the one that had to be kicked because you guys were ready to go, and I was dragging Fanny. So.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, when you're playing single dad during the week, it I understand
it's different.
It's different. It's a different thing.
All right.
I get it. And Sam,
yes,
why didn't we see those cool knife wing things again, Vector?
Yeah, you would think they would have been a staple of the arsenal in that thing.
Yeah,
but, yeah,
never showed back up.
I would have certainly cut your. Cut your Jeep in half with one of those.
Sure, I get that.
Yeah,
I also love the fact that he calls the Tacoma the taco. I think that's fantastic. that was fantastic. All right, well let's jump into this. Let's dive in. Let's dive in like a bug ship into the water. That also kind of looks like the ship from The Watchmen. It's just
Watchmen, yeah,
blue version. And let's do this thing. So
I guess they're both DC, right?
They are. Yeah.
Yeah, but Alan Moore did not collaborate with anyone when he was doing that kind of stuff. So it's not like, I don't know how old Blue Beetle is as far as a
very
property,
old.
But they're not. It wasn't like he was hanging out with DC guys saying, "Hey, we should." You know what I'm saying? Like he did his own thing. It was very. He was not. That you said, so it's very old. How old is Blue Beetle? I mean, I know nothing again about this character or anything about it.
I don't know.
Maybe
I'm pretty sure it's one of the originals, right?
I don't know. I mean, you say original. I had never heard of Blue Beetle until
according to this, this he's movie 16 came out. To 18 years old.
Okay. Yeah, that's not helpful at all.
No, it was introduced in 1939.
1939,
wow, really?
Yeah, 1939.
Yeah, back then, they still thought beetles were really scary, I guess.
I guess.
I don't know. I imagine that the tech that they had in this movie is probably a lot different than what they did back then, too.
I'd like to see, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Yeah, I didn't know that. Like, I'm that's interesting. Okay, 39. Wow. That's cool. Yeah, I had never heard of this character until this movie hit was coming out.
I've heard about him somewhere, but I couldn't remember exactly where.
Yeah, I don't know. So let's do our wait. We have to, Andrew has to tell us what the movie is, and then we can do our 5-word review.
An alien scarab chooses Jaime Reyes to be its symbiotic host, bestowing the recent college graduate with a suit of armor that's capable of extraordinary powers, forever changing his destiny as he becomes the superhero known as Blue Beetle.
All right.
Okay.
Cool.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Sam, why don't you enlighten us?
Sure.
With your 5-word review.
I've got one here. Pulling it up. Just one tonight, and it's basically, it says, treads near Power Ranger territory.
Okay.
Right? And first of all, I do have to admit, I'm an 80s child, not a 90s child. And I think Power Rangers really came into being in the late 80s, early 90s, maybe just in the 90s.
I think it's mostly 90s, yeah.
I was never a fan. I thought it was dumb. And I know I'm probably angering some folks with that, but I never enjoyed the Power Rangers. I thought they were just cheesy and stupid. And watching this, this movie has so many good things going for it, but yet it keeps throwing these bad ideas at it. You know, let me start off with Susan Sarandon is annoying as hell in this movie. Yeah. And it's not because she's not trying her best. The writing for her character is absolutely horrid. She's expounding so much exposition that didn't need to be mentioned, not to mention she's all but twirling a villain mustache the entire time.
She's very on one this note thing. Yeah.
And I found it incredibly annoying. I found what's his name, not Cheech,
Crazy Uncle
I Rory? Found him a little bit cartoony and stupid. Certainly he was interesting, but I couldn't take him seriously as somebody who could hack a computer or make different objects. It just didn't make any sense to me. But the family, I loved the family, the dad, the mom, the sister, and eventually Blue Beetle. I want more of those guys. I want more Blue Beetle. For God's sake, I want more Blue Beetle. I want less of the cartoony villain, and I want to see what this suit can do. Yes, this is a Iron Man-ish type of thing mixed with maybe Moon Knight, and I don't know what else. But I really enjoyed the guy who played Blue Beetle. I'm horrible with names. You guys know that. But I thought he did a really, really good job. And his little girlfriend, too, I thought they did a good job. I thought they had a good time with this when it involved with them. I also enjoyed the bad guy with the artificial arm.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a cool idea, and that, you know, he was basically being upgraded to this. But everything in this movie, it kept changing the rules. It kept changing things as we went along, and it got kind of, I don't want to say sillier and sillier, but it just seemed like it was really making it more far-fetched the further we went in this movie. And that kind of bothered me a little bit. But if we could have just focused on Blue Beetle and his relationship with the suit and his family issues, and maybe a little less of the crazy uncle, or at least made it plausible that the uncle was smart enough to do the things he was doing. But, holy heck, there was so many Ex Machina. Not Ex Machina. What do you call it?
Ex Machina. Yeah.
In this movie, it took away some of the wonder for me that could have happened. This could have been their Iron Man. I think with better writing, this mm-hmm. could have been a really good Iron Man type of story. And then an impact. And once again, I gotta admit though, I kind of enjoyed the movie because it was something that I didn't know about, a story I haven't seen before. And I enjoyed the idea of the Blue Beetle suit. Even though, again, the rules were weird. Is it alien? Is it ancient Egyptian artifact? Is it, you know, it chose him, but it was technology, and it was kind of all over the place of what exactly this scarab did to him. But yeah, I will say though, holy cow, did it look painful to get transformed into this suit. I mean, dude was getting ripped. I mean, just ripped open by this thing. And I thought, again, that I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the whole getting used to the suit and, you know, kind of it taking over him. And so, but again, I'm kind of all over the place, a little like this movie. There's some really good aspects of it, and then some really bad DC-ish type stuff thrown in that just doesn't, you know, I got to chalk it up to the production companies that make these things and probably force some things on these directors that make them do things that are just make no sense.
Okay. I can't really disagree with anything you said, really. So obviously the concept of this character has been out a long time. So we, you know, you get some vibes of some other things. Like we just watched not that long ago, Upgrade, you know, where the guy has an AI implanted into his noggin. And so because I've seen that movie, I wanted the relationship between him and the suit to be similar to that, right? Like reluctant at first, but then eventually they develop a friendship and they're able to kind of communicate. Of course, now Upgrade has a way different ending, a much darker ending, but kind of a similar vein, right? Whereas in this one, it's like the suit just does its own thing and he has no control, right? Yeah. It suits doing things. So you kind of get like the Iron Man flight a little bit.
Yeah.
Except he's just screaming the whole time. Right, he's just a panicked teenager the whole time, which wore on my nerves a lot in this movie. And then the second time he's using it, he's actually fighting against the whatever for a little bit. Again, he's fighting against guys that he's completely outmatching, so it's not much of a fight. And then their third is at the ending, but he has to have his not one but two Popeye moments in order to get the suit to come back on. But at that point, they're just in sync. They're good. Like there's no moment. There's no struggle. There's no come to peace with each other. It just works. Mm-hmm. And I think we're missing that thing there.
We're missing an act, right? We're missing a good 5 minutes worth of figuring things out.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't want to take up too much more time. I want Andrew to have his 5-word review before I go on my little rant. But, again, Sam, I can't really disagree. This movie also had, I felt like it had some really fun potential. And, though I think I liked the uncle more than you, but I had an uncle like that. So, I've made references before to Crazy Uncle Steve. He was just like the toned down white version of that guy.
Oh wow.
But more conservative, like more of the big brothers out to get us. But he was also an electrical engineer during the Vietnam era. So he was a smart man. He just was also kind of Looney Tunes when it came to conspiracies and stuff. So, all right, Andrew, what you got?
Well, I got two. The first one is DC's version of Spider-Man with bug farts. because you kind of get the same Spider-Man vibe.
Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah,
he's a teenager.
Yeah, yeah,
and he's figuring out these powers he doesn't quite understand. But I say with bug farts, both literally and figuratively, as there are some not great moments of the movie.
Yeah.
But my other one is the second DC movie ruined by bad casting of a villain.
And okay. Yeah. All right.
I have to fully agree with you about Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
We watched Shazam 2 that had Helen Mirren. And I feel the same way about this as I do about that. It's just the wrong actor to play the villain.
Yeah.
There's something about, you know, Susan Sarandon, when I think of her, or when I think of Helen Mirren, or when I think of, well, actually, Judi Dench might be better than either of those two. But when I think about people like that, that have the gravitas to play some really amazing characters, and who have played amazing characters, and then they, I don't want to say they've lowered themselves to being in a superhero movie.
Well,
because there are some fantastic actors in superhero movies, but I just feel like it's not the right person for the job, you know?
And you think it was expectations? Because when I saw her on the screen, I'm like, oh, they got Susan Sarandon to be a villain? This is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
But from that moment on, it was like, oh, this is,
yeah, this it was is bad. Just really cartoony and,
yeah,
like you said, and just not good. And it took us out of what could have been a really good movie. And I think you're right. I think if they had allowed the other villain, the guy with the prosthetic arm and all that, if they had allowed him to be maybe the major villain, and maybe she's just the money, you know, not really calling all the shots or whatever,
or better yet, you know, sometimes it's best to leave the villain off screen to make them, to build them up even more, or to,
yeah,
she had just way too much screen time in this.
She did. And again, that could be because it's Susan Sarandon and she's a big name and you want her to be on screen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it just, I don't know. The overall movie I had a good time with. The very first time, this is the second time I've seen it. And the first time I watched it, I think I text Sean as soon as I finished and I said, I think I found a DC movie you might like. I think this is the one that I sent him.
You did say that, yes.
Because when I watched it for the first time, I had so much fun. Like, I really enjoyed watching the movie. Like you said, the family dynamics were there. It was more of a comedy, and I feel like this and Shazam 2 and Black Adam, they're more of the DC's attempts to copy kind of what Marvel has done. And maybe not Shazam 2, but definitely Black Adam and this one. I feel like this, if we had never seen any MCU films and this one came first, I think this would be a lot of fun, and I think people would like it more, maybe.
Yeah.
Because of that. But because we've seen things done better, this one doesn't quite reach the mark. But there's a lot of funny moments. There's a lot of payoff moments, like when they're scraping gum under the seats, and then she uses gum in the helicopter to, you know. There's some moments that they really thought out when they did the writing of this, that there's payoff later on. So I don't think it's a bad movie. But after watching it a second time, I didn't enjoy it as much as the first time.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking at the director's his IMDb listing. They're all, I would guess, probably like Mexican films, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
They try to do like a Black Panther thing to Blue Beetle?
No, I mean, like,
well, kind of.
I mean, kind of, yeah. He himself is Puerto Rican. But I mean, I've never heard of any of these. I mean, he did Menudo, Young, Forever Young. a mini series. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're not all that. I just have never heard of any of these. Okay, yeah, I'm way wrong on that. I apologize. I'm way wrong on that. But I guess they're just kind of low budget things, whatever. But anyway, he said he's. I think this director did some really nice things in this movie, and I think
that I love the style.
Yeah, I do
like,
too.
I like the style of the movie. I thought it was pretty. It was different. I did enjoy that.
So there's all right. So I'm gonna do my five words real quick. I have two. Lots of comic book tropes. I mean, there's so many. There are so many tropes. My next one is NES Power Glove for the win.
Yeah, right.
That was an NES Power Glove for those that are old enough to know what the hell that is. But to your point, real quick. So I know Andrew will look through the photos in a little bit, but I want you guys to notice something that I thought was really cool. And then this is a directorial choice that. Obviously, when he's the Blue Beetle, there's a lot of blue, right? There's a lot of blue thing. When he's not the Blue Beetle, and he's not with his family, then his surrounding is very white and cold. But when he's home with his family, there's a lot of oranges and browns and warm. The room feels warm.
Yeah.
This movie is really hitting home that family... It's Fast and Furious, right? Family, right? It's all about family, and that's also really big in the Latin culture, family, and so I thought that was a really interesting take, a really interesting directorial choice there. I did kind of nitpick earlier already in my intro, like with Sam's middle name, like we have these cool wings that can cut buses in half, but we never see them again. Like, boy, that would have been nice when you have this guy who's got a suit of armor. Why don't you just use your wings to like cut like bits and pieces off his suit to make it less dangerous?
But apparently the data upload created nanobots that would keep him from being able to be cut by the
but not the at the end maybe the but wings. Not the first fight with the two of them he outmatches him in that fight. He just gets out skilled because he's not
a fighter.
Also, and again, maybe this is how the book, the comic book is, he's just a kid, he's a young Latin kid, Mexican kid, whatever. Why did the Scarab choose him?
Maybe they were saving that for a second movie.
Like, there's no explanation, right? No. And there's other movies where we have the thing chooses the guy because of whatever, right? He held it and it looked into his heart and saw that he was good, right? But we have zero evidence that he is a good person. He's not overly smart. He's a pre-law student that took, it took 5 years for him to go to pre-law. He's working as a janitor or whatever at the bad guy's mansion. Like, he's just a kid, and I know that like Spider-Man is just a kid, but he's also super smart. I think a lot of Marvel movies, they like to make their heroes really smart. I guess that makes them more interesting, but he's just a kid. And there is something kind of endearing about that. I just kept waiting to find out why he was chosen.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
I kind of just chalked it up to the fact that he was
just a good guy,
his family and a good guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I chalked it up. It was because that they casted this kid as the Blue Beetle guy, and that in the script mentioned that he got it in a food container, and that they accidentally grabbed his face and aliened him into the Blue Beetle suit.
That scene was pretty great. I like that. Like, it was almost like a horror film. I really liked that scene a lot.
Dude, it was the way it was flipping flaying him.
How did it get inside him?
He went up his ass. I wish there was more scenes that weren't in Spanish, because I would have more clips. But there's so much of the good lines that are in Spanish. I thought, well, there's no point in capturing that. But I, so since we're here, I did read this in the trivia. I thought this was great. The idea that Jaime's first transformation would happen in front of his family came from screenwriter Gareth Dunnett Alsorcer. I don't know. I doubt I got that right. Feeling that it would be closer to the Mexican experience and would make the first transformation something that happened not just to Jaime, but to the Reyes family. Quote, if you're a white teenager from Queens, your first instinct will be to hide your powers from your family. But if you live in a Mexican household, good luck hiding anything from your family, quote.
Nice.
So yeah. that's why he chose to have him do it right there. And then he comes back and he's naked. I feel bad like that the suit can't come, you know, can't, the nanobots can't go over his clothes like Tony Stark's does. So that's all I could think about is like when he, at the end of the movie, when he flies the pretty girl back to the place, like yeah. he's going yeah, to have to stay, he's going to have to stay in Blue Beetle form all the time.
Or maybe he won't.
Or maybe they, that's the plan, but anyway.
Like the, oh, whoops.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize I would not have my clothes.
Yeah, yeah. I guess she doesn't know that.
You know, it's the naked man, right?
Naked. Yeah.
It's the naked man. It works, what was it, 75%?
75% of the time it works, yeah.
Yeah.
Or two out of three, I guess is what it was. 66%.
Or two out of three, yeah.
So,
hey, we got a How I Met reference in here.
Yeah, I would never have expected that. So to Andrew's point about this was the movie he thought that I would like. Like this is the movie that Sean will embrace DC with. And I didn't hate it. I don't love it. I kind of like it. But of the four that we've done for DC month, I actually like Black Adam the best.
Yeah.
If I were to rank them.
Yeah, I agree.
Having seen all four of these together in a time span, I agree.
Yeah, I think I like that one the best of this four. Yeah. Because I had more fun with that one. Even though there were probably times that there were things that we were laughing at that we maybe shouldn't have been. I don't know. And I know that we all kind of were annoyed at The Rock and some of the choices that he did. But I liked the, I kind of liked the fight scenes in that movie a little bit more. I thought the action was a little bit better.
Well, it was also bigger. It felt bigger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
More epic.
I will say this movie, well, actually all of the DC movies we've seen this month, with the exception of Aquaman 2, the CGI in all three of them are probably better than all the other DC movies that are in the DCEU combined. Like, I thought this one did a really great job of marrying the two together so that we didn't feel like we were in CGI world like we did in Aquaman or in The Flash, right?
A lot less of that uncanny valley, right?
Yeah.
So
it did help that the actor is actually wearing a suit, you know, so there's only a little bit of CGI happening on the suit itself. It's not a Green Lantern situation. So, I mean, he's wearing a physical suit. The mask where it would move his jaw to signify talking, I know they're trying to go for the Deadpool thing, but it didn't quite work for me. It felt a little weird.
Yeah.
But I understand the point. I do get where they were coming from there. I'm totally with you guys with Susan Sarandon. She's a one-note villain who could have used a lot less screen time. I mean, I guess she's supposed to be, I don't know, like the Norman Osborn, but she's not a scientist. She's just a rich, evil person.
Terrible person.
Like, there's not really a, because like in Marvel villains,
give me motivation. Give me something.
Yeah. Other than just because.
Well, her motivation, it's there, but it's dumb. Her motivation is they overlooked me to be in charge.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess she did have something.
You know, and that's not a reason to like go berserk and kill people.
It did remind me of the villain from Ant-Man who also was creating an army of suits to sell to the government. And his motivation was Hank Pym didn't trust me enough, whatever. And so it's kind of like a daddy issue kind of a thing. It's kind of a similar thing. Like he's just kind of broken and screwed up. It's kind of the same where she's just kind of broken and screwed up and powerful. The big difference is that in that movie, he puts on the yellow jacket suit and actually fights Ant-Man. Whereas in this, she just bosses people around, and eventually she bosses one guy too much and gets blown up for her troubles. But I actually really liked how they resolved that, where it was like, oh, let me show you why he's doing these things. Like, I really kind of I enjoyed that kind of empathic moment there. I thought that was actually a really cool choice, where we don't have to just kill the sub boss for the movie. Like, let's actually have a meaningful moment.
He has an arc, for God's sake.
Yeah. Yeah, the main, it's actually the villain has, I was gonna say the sub boss has more of an arc than the hero and the main villain.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
yeah, and they do it subtly, right? It's I enjoyed that arc because they didn't beat me over the face with it.
Yeah, he ramps up, then he turns into whatever the villain, whatever he's called,
which couldn't get through doorways.
My wife said the same thing. She's like, how's he going to fit through that doorway? I'm like, I guess he's going to walk sideways like Crab the whole way down.
Turn sideways. Yeah. Through the shoulder pads.
And the suit did, I mean, and the suit, maybe it's very reminiscent of the 1940s and 50s or whatever. It did look like a big red Power Ranger suit.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of reminded me of like a video game villain that we would see in, I don't know, some sort of mech war type thing.
Speaking of video game, when she gives him the green light and she says, yeah, you can create any weapon you can think of. He creates the sword from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
And, was that really? Was that Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
As soon as I saw that, I laughed. It's like, oh, that's the sword from Final Fantasy. So then I kept expecting more of that.
Right.
You know, kind of like what they did in Free Guy. You know, where he goes through the Captain's Shield and then the lightsaber, and then, you know, like he goes through all of these, this litany of cool weapons. I was kind of expecting that, but he didn't, which is fine. But this one's just for Sam. One of the weapons that the suit creates is a replica of the Zorg ZF-1 from The Fifth Element.
Yep. I saw
that. Is it really?
Yeah. I was, nice. That was a question, Andrew. I apologize.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
But I saw that and thought about you guys, because The Fifth Element is awesome.
Well, Sam doesn't like it, but we smart people do like it, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I could watch it right now. there's a meme that's floating around in my Star Trek community where they have Ruby Rod as the helmsman of the Enterprise. And so, like, it just says, like, You know, Captain, they coming, Captain, coming, they coming. You know, just like it's all his like frantic whatever, and it's like you can hear that picture. It's pretty funny. Anyway, just a few other notes though that I'm going to talk about real quick before we do clips and kind of move on. But so some of the things that annoyed me, and so we haven't talked about most of the cast yet. So we've got the main kid, and I forgive me if I know I'm going to pronounce his name wrong. It's not Zolo, is it? Is that how you pronounce it? I can't be right. The main kid?
Probably.
Jaime? Yeah. X-O-L-O? Is that how you pronounce it?
Is his name Jamie?
Jaime is the American version. Jaime is his. Right. Is,
okay, you know. All right.
But yeah, Zolo, I think, is his name.
Okay. I don't want to pronounce it wrong. I'm looking to see if there's a way to, it shows how you pronounce it. His name means the dog star in Aztec language. Well, that's cool.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, I thought he was a pretty good actor. I thought he was fine. I don't know him from anything, but I thought he was fine. I of course, enjoyed the rest of the family. Grandma was awesome. By the way, I want your grandma movie. I want a movie about her being the gorilla.
Just the background.
Yeah. We need that prequel, because she was...
Like I said, the family members were awesome. I enjoyed every single one, except kind of the uncle.
Yeah, I see, and I like the uncle. I'm totally okay with crazy George Lopez because, again, he reminded me of my crazy uncle. So I thought he was fine. Could have used a little bit less of him, and also give me a little bit more explanation how he goes from crazy uncle, don't step outside of the vehicle because the big brother is watching too. I can build a contraption in a couple of hours that can overpower camera systems.
Yeah,
and
I just thought that he already had that
ex machina.
Like, he already had that in the works because of some of the shady stuff he was doing.
Well, yeah, and he says it. He's like, it's something I've been working on. Give me a few hours to whatever. So like, but like, the like, why was he building it? Why did he need this thing?
He's kind of a shady guy.
I mean, I guess he is a shady guy with a really cool truck, but like, we get zero explanation of, oh, this is my crazy uncle who also went to MIT. You know, like, give me a little bit of plausibility that he is the smartest human in the movie, because he is. Other than the scientist guy who she keeps getting the wrong name to, he's the smartest guy in the room. And
Sanchez.
Sanchez. Yeah. Excuse me. Sorry. Get to the button of time. Can you hear the Mustang behind me? Which is right there. You can see it in the window. Can you guys hear it?
No.
Okay. That's good. It's loud in here. So I don't know. I just a little bit of, even like when they're having dinner or something, like, hey, he's the first one to graduate college. Yeah. Cause I got kicked out of MIT. Give me the line. Something like that, you know. There's something there.
Start putting some of these threads together.
Yeah,
right. These ideas of what's going on. You know, even the little girlfriend and her father being the original Blue Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that seemed really strange to me that she wouldn't have used any of that stuff before or had more of a knowledge. It just seems strange.
Or already had a key.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially since she made the comment, like, nobody's been here since whenever. But she does kind of talk about how, you know, it's been really hard for her to revisit since her father left and all that.
Yeah.
So I guess they sort of kind of explain it. But you're right. I wish we would have seen a little bit more of that. And I think there maybe in a sequel would have been some.
Yeah.
Well, the one piece of trivia
teaser
that I did read is that James Gunn really liked the kid that played the Blue Beetle, and he liked this version of it. And so in the new DCEU that he's creating, they will use him as the Blue Beetle. They're going to like they're going to tie this movie in to the new DC, you know, like this movie doesn't have any ties to any of the other DCEU movies. Right. There's no reference to it at all. Yeah. So you, I mean, could.
They mentioned Superman and stuff.
Yeah, they mentioned like Superman that, and
but,
Batman.
But they
and
don't
stuff,
mention but the specific. There's not a poster of Henry Cavill.
Correct.
Right.
On the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonder Woman doesn't show up in his room.
Yes. To. Yeah, exactly. So.
With a wizard face.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's. I don't have much else other than a few notes that I did write. Like, my first note was, I love a crazy uncle, because I had one. The promo video that she shows, that the niece / girlfriend shows, looks exactly like the promo for the yellow jacket from Ant-Man.
Uh-huh.
I love the involved family trope, which, again, it's not really a trope because that's Mexican culture. Then I wrote, did they really need to make the receptionist racist? I thought that was a weird choice there, but I don't know. Anyway, every hero needs a tragic death trope. Definitely got that one. And then I wrote, Nana was a fighter.
Yes.
People keep asking her about her past. That's the movie that I want. And then I wrote, how many pep talks does this kid need? He has to have a moment with dad, which is what, again, almost straight from Black Panther. He has to have a moment with his dad, though it's a different kind of moment, obviously, in that movie. So then he has a pep talk with his dad, and then he comes out, and then mom has to give him a pep talk. to so that the suit comes back on. And I thought, this kid needs real, he needs a lot of talking up. He must have like
well, it's family.
Self-esteem issues. He's really talked up.
I think that's just the idea that they're trying to sell this as all about family, like you said, yeah, like the Fast and Furious movies.
Now, I will say this. Of all of the DC movies that we have watched, and I've watched now most of them, right? I'm trying to think if there's any one of them that I haven't watched yet. DC.
You watched the Snyder Cut?
Yeah. I watched the Snyder Cut. I've watched both versions. I haven't watched The Flash.
Oh.
That's
you should watch that just so you can complain about the CGI.
Yeah, I've heard it's pretty terrible.
You can see
Birds of Prey, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've watched all of them.
Nick Cage.
So of all of them, this is the only one that got me a little bit in the feels, not going to lie.
Yeah?
Yes. And it was...
You know what? I agree. I'm right there with you.
And it's... And when, it maybe
he sees the dad?
Not for me. No,
the dad scene got me.
Yeah, and you have a different perspective on that than I do, obviously. The part for me was because of the tie back, right? This movie does several really good moments tying back, like you mentioned the gum earlier. The greater good, that was a callback of too many damn times. But the locket, right? The locket's like one of the first items we see in the movie. And then the locket at the end is the kind of the motivation and all that stuff. Like there's some fun callbacks. So after the dad dies and the sister is crying, grandmom says, no, now is not the time to cry. Now is the time to fight.
Yeah.
After the fight is done, their family, they're huddled up together. She says, now we can cry. And I did. I got weepy because it's a sweet, sweet moment where it's like, the work is done. Now we can grieve. And it's okay to have the grief. Let's have the emotion. Let's live together and grieve together as a family in this, you know, this moment. And it was a wonderful line, but it was in Spanish. So I didn't capture it, but it was, it was my favorite part of the whole movie was that moment. Now we can cry. Oh, it got me. It really did.
Yep.
So that moment elevates the movie for me. Gosh, this computer keeps going to sleep. It's a problem. I got to change the thing on it. So anyway, yeah. So there's that. I did like the movie. I didn't love it, but it's fine. But grandmom elevated it for me. So anyway, that's it. You ready for a few clips? I didn't have a lot.
Let's do it.
Again, there's a lot of it's in Spanish. So here's this one.
Here goes Victoria Court.
Look at that walk. She's kind of sexy in like a Cruella Kardashian sort of way.
Okay.
Cruella Kardashian.
Yeah. Yes. By the way, kind of a weird thing, but my mother-in-law hates Susan Sarandon. Like,
really?
I don't remember why. My wife would have to tell me. I can't remember why. But every time we see her, I'm like, oh, it's your mom's favorite person. And my wife just laughs. I don't want, but like there are, every now and then there are people that, you know, like Andrew cannot stand Nick Cage.
Nicolas Cage. Yeah.
Yep.
Not a fan.
Sean doesn't like Ben Stiller and Charlie Brown and Alanis Morissette.
I like Alanis Morissette. I don't have a problem with her.
Right?
Her song isn't ironic, but I don't have a problem with her. I think she's great.
See? He does nothing but belittle her.
I'm not sure what was happening there, but you're right about the other two. I'm not a fan of those people. But I mean, you know, obviously Charlie Brown's not real, but if he were here, I would try to cheer him up. Not, you know, if Ben Stiller were here, I would be respectful, but I would basically ignore him. So, but I feel like my mother-in-law would like spit at Susan Sarandon. Like she does not like that woman.
Lord.
I know it's weird. It's weird. It's like, what did she do to you? I don't know. Anyway.
Was there a role or something in the past?
I honestly think it's something that actually, like, she actually did. Like, there was a real life thing that she was like, oh, this woman is dead to me kind of a thing. But I don't know what it is. I can't remember.
Stole her first boyfriend.
Maybe she did. I don't know. So, okay. Here's the uncle.
But we need the key.
Okay. So where's the key?
At the court building. And they're probably on high alert over there since I took the scarab.
So what are we talking about? A laser-based security system? Wide area, motion imagery, maybe photonic emitters?
I've
been working on something that I believe can help us. And it's almost finished. If I can get the mechanical structure right, I love you, Mom. Give me a couple hours.
Okay, first of all, the techno babble is like spot on.
What are you talking about? A laser-based security system? Wide area, motion imagery, maybe photonic emitters?
Okay. Like, that's some high-quality laser-based security. What does that mean? Like
photonic emitters.
Photonic emitters. That's a TV, right? Isn't that what a photonic emitter is, just monitors? And what was the second one? Laser-based security, photonic emitters, and...
Laser-based security system, wide area, motion imagery, maybe...
Wide area, so cameras. They've got wide-lens cameras. So it's a security system that has lasers, cameras, and monitors. But he made it sound really cool, didn't he? this made me laugh out loud.
It's like Batman stuff, but like if he had ADHD or something.
Batman's a fascist.
The Blue Beetle. Yeah, sense of humor.
Batman is a fascist. Which, by the way, I did read in the trivia that in the background on the TV that they're watching is a news flash, but it's in Spanish, that says that Bruce Wayne had bought Twitter.
Nice.
I thought that was funny. Batman is a fascist. That's hysterical. This is the only one that I captured, but we heard this a lot.
But sacrifices have to be made for the greater good. And this is yours, Jaime Reyes.
Greater good, yeah.
Jaime Reyes. Yeah. That's exactly what we've been talking about with her. Like, even the way she says his name.
So bad. It's just...
She's overacting. She's having a good time. She's... You know, I don't have to be good.
Is that something where the director didn't talk her down? Like, did she come into this saying, I'm going to be the next, you know, 1960s era Penguin here? Did she come into this meaning to overact?
Well, the movie does kind of have an 80s vibe. I mean, it felt like, because this came out like 5 minutes after Thor: Love and Thunder, which definitely had an 80s vibe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Well, yeah, even the font is like.
Yeah, the font's very 80s. All of the music was, you know, kind of 80s. Like Motley Crue and, you know, some other music. I mean, even the mech Beetle felt like something that Harryhausen would make in the 80s.
See, I would have loved to have seen a more steampunk type Blue Beetle machine from that era, or, you know, like a 60s era, you know, give it some Fender wings or something. I don't know. Just.
Yeah, no, I'm with
could have looked cooler.
Yeah, I it was a Beetle. I thought it was fine. Speaking of the Beetle.
Activating trophy system.
Activating buffer.
I like the way they did the bug fart. Just
activating trophy system.
Activating bug fart.
It was funny. That's the bug fart was definitely not a phrase I expected to hear from this movie. All right, time for this.
And now for some more bad news. Ready?
All right, time for our game. It's called Hey, Did You Notice? This is where Andrew will ask us some questions about the movie, and Sam and I will guess poorly to see if we guessed or could notice anything in the background.
Okay.
Maybe.
Who's going first?
I'll go first this time because I think Sam went first last time.
All right, Sean. When the Blue Beetle lands on the orange car, a sign for what restaurant can be seen above him that says coming soon? I'll say restaurant or establishment.
Wayne Burgers.
Sam.
It wasn't PC Coffee, was it?
You're closer.
Was it Starbucks?
It was Starbucks.
Starbucks. Oh,
all right, Sam, this is your question. No okay. points so far. What is on the shirt that Rudy lends to Jaime in the truck after he is naked from
what is on the shirt?
What is on the shirt?
Sweat that stains. Well, or actually, there's
there's something actually on it.
Printed
on it.
Yeah, a smiley face.
Sean?
Wasn't it? See, now I'm misremembering if it was from what he was wearing off the airplane or what. But wasn't it like Gotham University something?
No. It was just a wolf, like an airbrush wolf.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. So I think he was wearing a t-shirt or a hoodie that said Gotham U or something like that. Okay. When he gets off the plane. All right. The wolf. All right. That seems also something like the uncle would have in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, what beverage is advertised above the TV news report at the end of the movie where all the reporters are around his girlfriend there? There is an advertisement above the TV for a drink, a beverage.
I have Coke stuck in my head, but I think that's because that's what you're drinking.
It's true, but no. Sam?
Oh. It wasn't like Bud Light or something, was it?
It was Topo Chico.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Have you never had it before?
No, what is it?
It's like a Latin soda, basically. It's really good. You can get the sparkling water that they have.
Yeah.
And add a little red cherry, one of those drops that flavor.
Yeah.
And it tastes just like Dr. Pepper.
Ooh.
Awesome.
Interesting.
All right. Sam,
like, can you get it in the store? Like, is it in the
grocery stores? Yeah. Walmart, all those places. All right, Sam, this is your question.
Yeah.
What is the name of the man who originally discovered the scarab? This is seen in the opening credits.
Javier Lopez.
No. Sean.
Yeah, no idea either. I it was in the credits because I was not watching the credits at all. No idea.
Well, they shuffle through some newspapers during the opening credits.
Yeah, once I realized that they're not actually showing me anything because it was just like colors and stuff for a bit, I went straight into my script and I was, you know, deleting the old stuff and updating. I wasn't watching it at all. No idea. Bob Newhart.
Well, his name was actually also mentioned in the movie when the girlfriend was talking about her dad and the origins of the Blue Beetle. His name was Dan Garrett.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And last question, Sean.
Yeah.
In the family portrait shown in the house of Jaime, one family member is not smiling. Who is it?
My guess would be the sister, because it seems like something that she would do is to not smile. So I'm going to go with the sister.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That sounds like something that the moody teenager would do.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I got a point. Right. It's been a while since I've gotten a point on the game.
That was the last
good
question.
Job.
All right.
Cool.
That's the game.
Thanks. All right. Time for.
I was going to ask about the bobbleheads, but I figured you guys would get those right away.
The bobbleheads?
I don't remember the bobbleheads.
Oh my gosh, you guys didn't see the bobbleheads?
Where were the bobbleheads?
In Uncle Rudy's truck.
No,
there were bobbleheads in the truck.
Oh my god. I was going to ask, but I thought there's no way they missed that.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, there's two bobbleheads in the truck. It's Cheech and Chong.
Is it really? Nice.
Yes. Oh, I do remember seeing that.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I do remember seeing that. Okay.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay.
Right. Should have made that a question.
Yeah, you should have. Yeah. No, I do remember that now that you've said that. I totally blanked that was a thing. But yeah, Cheech and Chong, bobbleheads. Or they're Funkos, right? Weren't they Funko Pops, I guess?
Something like that.
Yeah. That's fine. All right. Time for this.
Everyone!
All right. This is where we're going to give the movie a score from 0 to 10. And this week, we will start, as tradition dictates, with Andrew.
Well, it's a 6.0, I think, on IMDb. I've already closed it, but I'm pretty sure that's what it said. And I think last week we were around the same thing for Black Adam. And yeah, I'm right there with it. It's not a bad movie. It's not something that I would necessarily watch again immediately, but if I were to see it on TV or in passing somewhere on an airplane, would probably watch it again. There was nothing else to watch, so I had a good laugh or two, and I'm gonna give it 6.1.
Okay.
Out of 10.
All right, Sam.
Yeah, I'm kind of right around Andrew too. I think it's a little less than Black Adam. I'm not 100% sure what I gave him, but I want to say it was around a 6 point something. So I guess it's a 6.05 out of 10. It's decent. It's, again, not bad, but not, you know, the if you could get rid of the subtractors of this movie, you would have a really incredible show.
You are like right under what you did last week, so that's fair. And I'm gonna do the same. I can't really. I'm gonna park it at a 6. No, I can't do that. I'm gonna do a 6.1. And Yeah, I think that's fine. Giving it a 6.083 repeating, I think that's a good score there. So, yeah, I didn't like it. I mean, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It's fine. It's a fine movie. It's a fine superhero movie. It's one of those where it's, you know, we're being introduced to a character, and there's a lot of new things we have to learn about him. And you know, they didn't make the movie too long, 2 hours and like 6 minutes or something like that. It's not bad. Mm-hmm. So,
would you say this is in the top three of your DC EU movies?
Top three. Let's see. No.
No?
No.
Who would you put in your top three?
So number one is probably going to be The Suicide Squad with James Gunn.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That would probably be number one. We should do this real quick. We could do this real quick with the three of us. Sure. So that would be my number one, The Suicide Squad. Number two would probably be Wonder Woman.
Hmm.
Number three would probably be, it's either going to be Black Adam or Man of Steel. Because I have like a weird relationship with Man of Steel. Like I like it, but I don't. Like
yeah,
there's
you
some
do.
There's some things that I, you know. So I'll say Man of Steel 3, Black Adam 4, Shazam 5. There you go. So, yeah, I think that's fine. What about you, Sam? What would you do?
I'd actually put Wonder Woman at number one. I thought cinematically it was fantastic. I'd probably put Suicide. You got to remember, you got to make sure you do the right one.
Yep.
The Suicide Squad at number two, just because it's so much fun to watch. Gunn did such a great job with that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets real muddy, right? I'm kind of with you with Man of Steel. It's okay. Shazam is okay. I'm gonna put Aquaman at number three, the first Aquaman. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a neat world building experience. And then I'd probably put, you know, Man of Steel, and underneath that would be the Shazam Black Adam area.
Okay.
Now, I will say the Zack Snyder's Justice League cut was pretty incredible in terms of cinematography. Just the visuals are absolutely incredible. So even though it's completely Zack Snyder crap storytelling, it looks incredible. It's gorgeous.
It's just too long of a movie.
Yeah. It's a miniseries.
Yeah,
it's what it is.
It would have been better as a miniseries.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's a very, very expensive miniseries.
Well, again, it's a
but
the problem is when we mentioned they didn't take the time to introduce other characters first.
Yeah.
You know. But so we have to do it in this one movie, and that's why it took so freaking long.
Yeah.
So
what about you, Andrew?
Well, I'm gonna be right there with you, kind of. I'm gonna have Wonder Woman. And then I'm gonna put Shazam. The first one.
Oh, wow.
As
yeah.
number two. Because I just had such fun with that. And it's such a funny, lighthearted, good superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd probably say the Suicide Squad after that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, we have the same top three films, just in slightly different orders.
Ish. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting, you know, I'm not saying we should have this discussion. I'm just saying, if I said, okay, now give me your top three MCU movies, I wonder how different it would be. You know, would we have the same three in slightly different orders, or would we be, because there's 20-something movies to choose from also. Yeah. Like, would we be very different? I think it would be different.
Now, had we gotten a Ben Affleck standalone Batman movie, that probably would be my number one.
I mean, maybe, yeah. I mean,
just because it's Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, and I know that he's like one of your favorite characters, and I get that, but
he is. And Ben Affleck, I thought was right behind Michael Keaton as a great Bruce Wayne, good grizzled old Batman.
Was it you, Andrew, that made the comment the other day about what they should have done with the DCEU is instead of, or not with DCEU, but like the new Robert Pattinson Batman is make him Batman Beyond and have?
Yes.
Yes.
I mentioned that to somebody at work, and they're like, oh my God, that's genius. I said, I know.
Yeah.
They should have done that. There was a missed
Michael
opportunity.
Keaton as old man Bruce Wayne. And
yep.
Yeah. That would have been great. But, you know.
Yeah.
They missed the boat.
They did. That they did. So, all right. Well, that's it. That's our show. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed DC Month as much as I did. And I know that this was mostly as a way to kind of force me to watch some DC movies, which is fine. I'm okay to you know, sometimes you just have to take your medicine, and and that's okay. And I relish the experience. And if there's anything else that you guys, and by you guys, I mean my team here, as well as the listeners, are, you know, like, Sean, you really need to watch such and such. This is the best way to make me do it. It's because for the podcast, frankly, because you know we're sluts for listens and downloads. So we'll do that. So, but speaking of that, I did get a request for a movie through our YouTube comments. Colleen, again, thank you listening. Thank you for listening. Through YouTube. I don't know why that was hard for me to say. She did comment, speaking of Helen Mirren, you really should do Excalibur and Red. Oh, man, yep. I'd love to.
Wait, have
Red.
We not done Red?
No, we haven't.
Really?
No, it's a good one.
It's a good
surprising.
One. Yeah, it is surprising, mainly because I love Bruce Willis and that movie.
Yeah.
So if Red is streaming, I'm here for it. I love that movie a lot. And it is streaming. It is on Prime.
There you go.
It is on Prime. So it is getting added to the list, but not,
I remember the movie,
but not the list for April. April, we are going to have a theme. Thanks also partly to Colleen and talking with Sam. April is going to be family friendly movie month. These are going to be movies that you can watch with your kids or whoever you want
to
watch.
Finally going to get Sean to watch Nymphomaniac with his parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, wait, no, that's not right. So as a request, again, Colleen, thank you so much for the request. She requested that we watch the live-action Mulan movie. So that's what we're going to kick the month off with. Next week, we're going to watch the live-action Mulan. And we've got some other exciting stuff coming up. I'm going to tease it by saying only the Mulan movie. But we've got some other really fun movies coming up. I do know that we're going to have at least one, if not two, animated films in there also. And yeah, I'm excited. And also, Sam, by the way, a good friend of the show, Billy, and his wife, Catherine, have two rabbits at their house. And so I said, have you guys watched Watership Down? And
oh, Lord.
The daughter says, that's on Netflix, right? And I said, that's the series is. They made a series. And she said, can we watch that? Because it's about rabbits. And then they looked at me and I'm like, it's dark and violent, but if you want to watch it, go for it. And they're like, oh, really? And I said, yeah, it is that.
Oh, you should have just let them go into it.
No. Anyway, so yeah, that's what we got coming up. I'm really excited for it. So in the meantime, as you're waiting for those to hit your podcatchers, go to our website, cheapseatreviews.libsyn.com. Again, find links to our social medias. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram. I'm not on Threads with the podcast, but that's fine. There you can interact with us, send us messages. Go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/cheapseatreviews. There, like and subscribe, comment. Be great. Really appreciate it. Yeah, leave us a review also. Also, those are very, very helpful. So in the meantime, or not the meantime, but on behalf of Andrew and Sam and some kind of weird AI beetle-looking uncle there behind Sam, this is Sean saying thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next week for Mulan.
This is Cheap Seat Reviews.